Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Here's another thing to think about. Right after September the 11th, and not too long after that, people were talking about bioterrorism. They were talking about biological warfare. I heard interviews, I heard comments, I heard people talking about the likelihood of terrorists having biological weapons. There was a lot of talk going on, and I remember at the time remarking, I think I might have said on the air and off the air to people I knew, boy, there you go, that's really ratchet the panic up, man. Let's start talking about things that may or may not happen. The talk happens, and then sure enough, within days after that, maybe a week or two after that, maybe 3 weeks after that, actually, because the letters were mailed when? The 18th, 28th and 8th. Now it starts showing up. See what I'm saying about the whole copycat aspect to this? People talk about it. Some right-wing, I don't know what they call them anymore. Is it like a white Aryan thing, racist thing, anti-tax thing? What was Timothy McVeigh's philosophy? Does anybody to this day even know what that guy's problem was? Not enough flat top haircuts? What was the deal? Not enough people look like him? Yeah, no, that guy had no philosophy. But it was some kind of anti-government stance. And so these right-wingers suddenly click into gear. They hear all the talk. They realize the country's nervous. What a great time. Maybe they're nervous themselves. Maybe they're reacting because of the security measures that have been put into place that they think the country's going to hell in a handbasket and they're going to keep it from turning into a police state, even though we've just been, you know, carved up by Middle Eastern terrorists. They're going to keep us from becoming too much of a security state. So they start sending off their anthrax to the appropriate media outlets and politicians to stave that off. Maybe that was done out of nervousness. But they hear the talk, they react to the talk, and next thing you know, it's in the mail. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. By the way, last hour on CNN, here was their big question. Can America fight bioterrorism? In other words, people aren't nervous enough. Let's just ask the question, can we do it? Well, gee, I don't know, Bill. Maybe the answer is no. Well, I don't know. I'm Bill Press. I'm just trying to get the facts. Yeah, that's great. Let's go over to Howard now. Howard, you're on The Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
I just like to know why you refer to the media as Jewish liberal-controlled media.
Oh, you know, my screener already explained that to you, and you didn't want to listen to him, so I'll explain it one more time, Howard. I was satirizing the attitudes of right-wing domestic terrorist organizations and their view of the media. But I know that Mike already explained that to you, and you didn't give a crap, so why are you asking me again?
Because it sure didn't sound like.
Well,
then
maybe you
had a.
Why don't you pull all of the wax out of your ears and do me a favor, okay? Get an education, get your IQ cranked up about 50 notches, and then call me back, okay? My screener already explained to you 18 times, dumbass, what I meant by that. But he's still got to get on the air and say, it sure didn't sound like it. You know what you sound like to me, Howard? You sound like a Jew. All right, let's go over to David on The Phil Hendry Show. Hello. David.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing great. I think I got a way that we can slow down this anthrax stuff or at least catch the people that are doing it. Still with me?
I'm still with you.
Okay. I think we have to stop taking mail in those metal mailboxes. The only way you can mail is residentially out of your mailbox. It has to have a return address on it that matches the address that they pick up from, or from the post office, has to have a return address on it, and you have to present ID to mail it.
Well, the one they sent to Dashiell had a return address on it.
Yeah, but that was a false one.
Well, it was New Jersey.
Yeah, but if you want to mail it has to come from a mailbox.
Are you sure it was a false address? What was false about it?
It was from an elementary school.
That didn't exist, right. But what about the town?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you put mail in Phil Hendry's mailbox and the mailman comes to pick it up, it has to say Phil Hendry, 1313 Mockingbird Lane. And if it doesn't match, if the return address on the envelope doesn't match the mailbox they picked it up from, they don't take it.
So in other words, I can only mail stuff from my house and the place they pick it up from has got to be the return address that they picked it up from. Right. I mean, the place they pick it up from has got to have that return address on it.
Correct. Or you have to mail it from. Or you have to mail it from the post office, and you have to present ID that matches their return address.
You have to present ID that matches the return address on the envelope.
Correct.
That means that only people can mail their own stuff. In other words, your wife can't say, hey, honey, or somebody say, would you mail this for me? They can't do that anymore?
Well, I could go to the post office and say, my letters say my wife's name and my name.
Well, let's say a friend of yours says, hey, David, would you drop this in the mailbox for me?
Sorry, dude.
Can't do it anymore, huh? So we all got to mail our own stuff. If we mail it from the post office, we got to present ID, and our driver's license has to be current enough to reflect our address. Is that right?
Which it should anyway.
All right. Or the only other place is for the mailman to pick it up from your home. So there's no more mailboxes that we could just drop stuff in.
Not until this stuff stops.
That's not a bad idea. I don't see anything wrong with that. That sounds very foolproof and it's very sound. I'm sure somebody's going to call and shoot holes through it, but it sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, I also think that rug store needs to have a fire sale, if that's true.
The rug store needs to have a fire sale? I'll buy that freaking rug. Are you kidding me? I'll buy it. All right, David, thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye. So what do you think of that idea? That's pretty cool. So in other words, you mail something, the only way you can mail it can be from your own residence. The mailman's got to pick it up, and it has to have your return address on it. So if you mail, let's say you're mailing some anthrax to Tom Daschle. The mailman must pick it up from your house, and your return address must be on it. No return address or a different return address, he will not deliver that piece of mail. Now, if you want to go to the mailbox, or excuse me, if you want to go to the post office and mail it, then you must present the letter to a person as opposed to just throwing it into one of the slots they have in the mail at the post office, and you must present your ID. Now, what I'm trying to think, it would probably greatly impact how they do business. But the mailman goes house to house anyway. See what I'm saying? The mailman goes house to house anyway, although he does, in some instances, he's delivering mail to mailboxes in apartment complexes, but there's got to be a way you can mail stuff from your own apartment complex. You do it, yeah. So he's going house to house anyway, right? Right. That means, basically, what that effectively eliminates are mailboxes that just sit out in parking lots or shopping malls or street corners, the ones that we all use, go up, toss your little mail in there, and you're on your merry way. Sounds good to me. It sure would eliminate a lot of anonymous kinds of mail, hate mail and threatening mail, all of that stuff. It would get rid of a lot of that. Someone could put a letter with your return address on it into your mailbox, says Craig. Aha! Then you have to have a locking mailbox. But, dude, now you're getting into hassle city. Okay, David, we just found out the problem with your plan. Someone could put you heard what I said. Someone could put a letter into your mailbox with your return address on it when you're not looking. Oh, well, it was a great idea when we had it there for the 30 seconds that we had it. 1-800, so like I said, it sucks, man. It'll never work. It'll never. Why don't you listen to me, okay? 1-800-449-8686. Here's Mike on the Phil Henry Show. Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you say it's all the, white people sending it to the Jewish people. Did I say that?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, no. Not you said that, but what about the AMI building? Why'd they hit it down here? Because it's a media outlet, they said, but how many people does that actually reach?
Well, I don't know what you mean by your question, but I believe that they hit a place like the American Media Building because they know magazines like The Enquirer and The Sun are published there, magazines that I would think some right-wing domestic terrorist organization would consider to be opinion-making kinds of newspapers, when in point of fact they're not. They're just supermarket tabloids. But they would probably think those kinds of tabloids, those kinds of newspapers, are opinion-making.
Yeah, you're right.
But I wanted to ask you one other thing. And so we got to get going. Go ahead.
With your shtick and everything and all that, what about R.C. Collins, man? I haven't heard him in like 2 months.
Yeah, I know. I killed him. Okay, see you later. He's dead, man. He's dead. You want to know why? Because he knew you were calling the show. He was on last night. Yeah, what are you talking about? 1-800-449-8686. So that idea about the mail, boy, we thought we had one. Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine claims responsibility for the assassination of an Israeli cabinet member. Israel has now suspended its negotiations with the Palestinian Authority with regard to peace negotiations. It would seem to me that if I was Israel, I would say, hey, look, this is obviously what they want. Why would you do that now? Sharon, look. They shoot one of your cabinet members. That means they're trying to screw up negotiations and any possible truce or settlement between Israel and the Palestine Authority. Why are you playing into their hands? I guess you have to, though, because it's a member of the government. It's a member of the cabinet. I suppose some kind of statement along those lines is necessary. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Next Friday, October 26th, I will broadcast my show live from the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills as part of the 2001 Radio Festival. 64 of my biggest fans and their guests will be part of my live audience for a special local show from 7 to 10 p.m. Enter to win by logging on to KFI640.com and click to my page. That's next Friday on October 26th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Museum of Television and Radio. And for those of you in the rest of the country, you're certainly welcome. As a matter of fact, I can't read that promo because that doesn't make any sense to people listening to me anywhere else, does it? All right, we'll find out. I've got a lot of people staring at me as if I'm as if I have anthrax. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. The other thing is that the number of hoax calls and hoax, you know, hoax anthrax threats to abortion clinics is like suddenly gone up. I mean, all of this seems connected to me. What would empower somebody who's got it in for an abortion clinic to send an anthrax hoax through the mail to them or to call in a anthrax hoax to an abortion clinic? If it weren't some sense among the nuts that do that, that this thing in Washington and New York, the anthrax threats there, are not somehow motivated by, propelled by, influenced by, and perpetrated by others of their ilk. Like, you know, the old birds of a feather crap together? That is what I think is going on here. Or it could be something else entirely, as we like to say on the show. 1-800-449-8686. Michael, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil. First, I just want to say I love your show.
Thanks.
I'm a Republican, and I know you're more liberal than I am. But you make a lot of great points, and I love listening to you.
Thanks.
I just had one quick question, though. Where do you get the idea that it's some right-wing group sending off the anthrax? I mean, whether I guess the point I'm trying to make is I don't think any party would support these groups. So, I mean, just where do you get that idea?
Well, I'm not saying Republican. I said right-wing.
Yeah.
Extreme right is, like, beyond Republican. It's just like, you know, extreme leftist is beyond Democrat. We're now beyond the realm of political party. We're now into political ideology, and that's got very little to do with, you know, constructive action. It's violent sometimes. It's unbalanced sometimes. It's extreme in terms of its view of the social order. It's beyond the current social order of a constitutional representative government. I mean, it's, you know, these guys I'm talking about are individuals that have already perpetrated one act of horrific terror, which was the bombing of now I say these guys, as far as they know, it was only two guys, although I find that difficult to believe. But in any event, they bombed the building in Oklahoma City. There have been the murders of doctors involved in working in women's fertility clinics, if you will, abortion clinics. You know, the violence that's been directed by these organizations, or the violence that's been directed by certain subterranean organizations has been directed against people who have a certain liberal or democratic or a certain point of view that's opposite the right. Abortion, government. I don't know, man. That doesn't sound left-wing to me.
I agree with you in some aspects. I consider myself conservative Republican, yet I don't align myself with a lot of the
I consider myself a liberal. I don't align myself with the leftist wing of the Colombian People's Liberation Front, you know, murdering people, you know, in Colombia right now. These guys are beyond political parties. They're And additionally, a lot of them have been on their little websites over the last month talking about how upset they are with the new security measures at airports, etc. And
right.
Some have hinted broadly at using the bioterror. You know, some of the stuff is just adding up, to my way of thinking, adding up to groups of that ilk.
You know, I guess I'm from Texas, and whenever we hear the words out here, so...
Yeah, well, whatever.
Right.
Okay. All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, I don't know if I did, but thanks for calling.
Okay.
Hey, bye-bye. You're from Texas, so what is that supposed to mean? Oh, Dallas, 63. Okay. 1-800-449, I'm just fooling around. I mean, why? I don't know why anybody thinks that Texas is the sole repository of conservative thinking. I mean, Lyndon Johnson... Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, and this is David on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fine.
I actually had one question, but now I've gained two. The first question is why haven't they offered more money for his head? I mean, they've only put up.
Why don't we?
Why haven't they offered more money for his head? You know, Bin Laden's head. Okay.
Why do you think that would do it?
I think that if they change the stakes, maybe someone might give him up.
Somebody would have to give him up from his inner circle, from his guard, his armed guard.
Well, if you look at the lottery,
he's got 2,500 guys surrounding him and protecting him.
Right. If you look at the lottery last year, somebody won $125 million in the lottery, so why not give him a little bit more money to see if they give him up?
Well, okay, fine. They could do that. They've already jacked it from $5 million to $25 million. For a guy eating dirt clods in Afghanistan, sounds like a pretty nice piece of change. How much money do they have to offer these people?
I really don't
know. Who
knows
where... Well, then that's not much of a suggestion if you don't know, because who knows where he is? Who do you suppose knows where he is?
The people that are around him, but I think...
All right, well, those people are committed fanatics. Do you think $25 million or $100 million means anything to them coming from the great Satan? And how do you get that information to them, too? I mean, they're living in a camp in the mountains of Afghanistan. Where exactly do you drop a leaflet saying $100 million now for maybe?
Yeah.
Well, this is an armed encampment. And how do they go about turning him in? Hello? Hello? I just scared him off with too many questions. It happens. Sometimes people will call with a line of reasoning, and I get enthusiastic about it, and I want to know about it. And, of course, my way of finding more out about things that I want to know about is I ask a lot of questions. And when you ask a lot of questions, some people get nervous and just, like, it sounded like he passed out. Because they don't know. I'm not saying the guy's got a bad idea. I'm saying exactly who. All right, so there's a member of Bin Laden's inner circle. Okay, you're going to get $100 million if you turn him in. All right. How do I radio the coordinates so you guys can hit us with a cruise missile? And where do I pick my money up? You see what I'm saying? Well, there'll be a post office, but mailbox, etc., Kabul. Okay, I got it. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you must sign up now. Get your backstage pass for Real Audio Archives, all of our great audio flashbacks, 30-day archive, listen live anytime you want. It's the Phil Hendry Show backstage pass. All right, it's only $6.95 a month. You can't beat that. Available now at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
One more thing to think about in the list of things to think about on the show here today. Through the Al-Qaeda network, which was, this message was delivered on a videotape, Bin Laden said that if we hit any residential or civilian targets, watch out, baby. Now, you recall, that was last week. The Al-Qaeda also said, I think, in a videotape released maybe a week or two before that, that the United States was going to suffer a firestorm, a storm of airplanes in the skies over the United States. Now, since that time, we have very unfortunately, but nonetheless, we have hit residences. I believe we hit a boys' school in Kabul, but the bomb didn't go off. It apparently, it was still fused, and the United Nations is working at defusing that. But we have hit residences, and we have hit, I believe, some civilian traffic. We ain't seen no storm of airplanes. And whatever it was that Bin Laden said he was going to do, he ain't done. Now, I understand what you're saying. You just watch out, Phil. He may be. Well, he may be, but then again, he may be trying to figure out what it is he's going to do that we're not going to catch him at doing. He may be just throwing a lot of crap around. He may be Little Red Riding Hood. He may be a lot of stuff. Actions speak louder than words. And what I've always suspected about this guy, and what I am every day more convinced of, is that he is much, much more the propaganda master than he is the warrior, although he has formidable resources at his disposal. No doubt about it. He's got money. He's got a lot of committed followers. But I don't think they can effect their attacks. They can prosecute their war, so to speak, as easily as some of us think that they can. I've been about to hear it since September the 11th. These guys are everywhere, and they're all over the place, and they can do this, and they can do that, and you'd think you were talking about freaking Batman. Yeah, they did a horrible thing, man. I said it then, and I'll say it again. I think they shot their wad. I think that's the best they got. I think they can get a whole lot of guys out in the street burning flags. Don't get me wrong. I think they can get thousands of people out in the street making little puppets, dummy effigies of Powell and Bush and burning them. They're good at that. But what they're able to do, what they're actually able to do as so-called warriors, is limited. What they are able to do as bullcrap artists is quite extensive. And so far, they're doing the job, man, because they got people thinking these guys are more powerful than the damn human torch. And that little guy that flies around with him, whatever the hell his name is. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Amy. Amy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing?
Fine.
I just wanted to comment. I just caught the tail end of your last caller talking about some kind of lottery for Bin Laden or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I just wanted
a lottery for Bin Laden. You win Bin Laden.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention your listeners might be interested in knowing that Congressman Ron Paul actually dropped a bill last week in Congress to allow for a legal bounty on Bin Laden. And you know, I can understand the callers how upset he was, and but there is something going on right now that if people want to take action on, they can.
A legal bounty? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, it's called the September 11th Mark and Reprisal Act, and basically what it would do is allow President Bush to issue a letter of mark and reprisal to a private citizen or entity in the United States,
right.
Like, for example, a former CIA agent,
okay,
who could then be allowed to go over there and work in conjunction with the president and have be privy to our intelligence and all this. You know, the businessmen out in California.
I don't understand. I don't get that. We have the SEALs, Delta Force. We have a cadre of highly skilled, you know, assassins, if you want,
right,
to just go ahead and spell it out. What do we need that for?
Well, here's the difference. You know, when President Bush was talking about at the press conference that this is a different war, we need to fight it differently, he was right, but he didn't give any examples. This is an example. I mean, you send some private former CIA agent over there who does not have the crew cut haircut, who's not in the uniform, you know, then it becomes something that...
What's he going to do?
Well...
What's he going to do?
He's going to do...
Former CIA agent? How about sending a CIA agent? There's a better idea.
Well, you know, when you work for the government, you also have to, I mean, there's different things that you have to do to,
who's,
you know,
this guy?
A lot more red tape. If you don't work for the government, you have less red tape, so.
I you know what? I suspect that the guy who proposed this bill maybe isn't clear himself, but right now we have in that area individuals that you're talking about, CIA agents or former CIA agents who would be paid to go around the laws of the United States, is what you're saying.
And work with the president and work with the
military. Work directly with the president on circumventing our laws because we can't have somebody who works for the government doing that. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, the interesting thing is that this is already in our Constitution. It's already something that's there. I don't know if
in
you're
in our Constitution?
With.
What is it?
It's it deals with piracy, and piracy of the high seas is what they call it whenever they were trying to...
Piracy of the high seas. It's in the Constitution?
Yeah, so whenever we had some kind of problem in our country where you couldn't identify the enemy as a nation, it was a pirate, well, back then. So in our Constitution, the Congress is allowed to issue letters of marque and reprisal to private citizens for any piracy on the high seas, is what the Constitution says.
I'm just wondering how a private citizen is going to do a better job than the professionals that we have working for us right now. You say it's because they can go around the laws of the United States, but I don't get how you go around the laws of the United States while you're working with the president. I don't understand why a private citizen is allowed to circumvent red tape but still be working with the president when we have professionals trained to seek out these individuals and terminate them or get rid of them or whatever word you want to use.
Right. I
don't know
the
how
point
this is.
I understand what you're saying, but I think the point is it just provides for another tool. It doesn't compete with, and I think what you're trying to point out, it wouldn't compete with, but it just provides us with another tool, another tactic. Anyway, I just thought that...
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Amy.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Sounds pretty screwy to me if you ask my opinion, which I know nobody did. What? Who's this guy? Let's quit fooling around in Congress with a whole lot of hooey, okay? Let's get down to the business of doing what we got to do. What is this guy introducing a bill to get some clown to run over there? You want to know what you're going to do? You're going to wind up getting somebody killed. That's what you're going to do. Former CIA agent is going to go over and recruit. Well, first of all, if you know anything about the intelligence community, which I don't, but maybe I know a little bit more than some people, And I am referring specifically to Duane Claridge's book on the CIA and the career that he spent in the CIA. Number one, you, white boy, you don't do any intelligence work, especially in Afghanistan, India, Nepal, Africa, any part of the world where your white ass is just liable to get you shot. What you do is you go over there, and number two, you recruit. Now, what guy who looks like he's straight out of a bowling alley in El Monte is going to be able to recruit in Afghanistan? You got it. Nobody. So that means he's got to have somebody on the ground in Afghanistan. Now, where does he find that guy? Probably going to find that guy in Pakistan, at the embassy in Pakistan. So he's got to recruit that guy, got to get that guy on the ground in Afghanistan and have him begin to recruit and recruit his way into the inner circle of bin Laden, at which point you apply the coup de grace. Now, how is that any more effective than what our own intelligence community could do right now? I don't know. Just asking questions. That's why we're here. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Moving along here now to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Yeah?
Hey, I was wondering if you had heard about the link between the rock band Anthrax and some of this anthrax that's being distributed. Have you heard about the rumors?
Well, there is none.
Oh, there isn't?
No, there's no link between the band Anthrax and the anthrax being distributed, other than the fact they have the same name.
Oh, you haven't heard that? Because I've heard a lot of rumors about it.
Well, I'm sure you have.
I heard
among
that
headbangers
that
especially. Headbangers who tend to get their kicks in a bottle of Energene. Yeah.
I heard that they might possibly try to package it in the CDs.
Yeah. Well, I know, Steve, you're calling up to spread the rumor, okay? So consider it spread, dumbbell, okay?
But Ben,
bye, dumbass. There you go. Consider it spread. 1-800-449-8686. Moving along now to yet another brilliant caller. Carla. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Phil. how are you doing today?
Good, good.
I'm getting a chuckle out of Steve. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you so much for this format that you have. I've called you several times before and always been impressed, but
really?
Right now I think you're really well-spoken.
Well, this isn't really what we do on our show, but we're doing it today.
Well, you do it very well. You're very well-spoken and
well,
very
well-informed. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and you bring a lot of common sense and a calming effect to all of us. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah, I think
kind
so.
Kind of a nice, calming, bowel-loosening effect.
Yeah.
Well, great.
Let me tell you, though, I have to wholeheartedly agree with you about Aaron Brown on CNN.
Oh, is that guy a piece of work?
He is the big-eyed, paranoid, shaky anchor man that I've ever seen. He scares me.
Freaking bozzy-eyed freak. That guy with that lockjaw cottonmouth of his.
Right, right. My husband and I were just discussing him last night because something breaking news came in and his eyes got really big and he said, you know, I don't know if I should read this. I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway.
I know. And then he says things like, now, we have to be careful of how we say these things. Yeah, Aaron, you don't have to be careful for me because I know how to listen to news. You need to be careful because you don't know how to freaking read it.
Exactly. My husband thinks that he has a gas mask underneath his desk that he just puts on during commercial breaks.
You know, I'm so happy you called because I can't be the only guy that notices that that guy who used to be on ABC and he did the overnight ABC news.
And he was good on that. I've seen him before on
that. Yeah, when everything is nice and calm and he's able to take a crap in peace, everything's great with old Aaron. But the minute stuff breaks out that's a little scary, that guy is about as soothing as poison ivy in your jockstrap.
Well,
you know?
I wouldn't know about that, but I can relate
yeah,
it to
okay.
something else.
I'm sorry.
But
I was reaching for something there. Yeah.
To you.
No, that yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, so I'm not the only one. You guys got to watch this guy, Aaron Brown, on CNN. He's got this kind of way of trying to be Mr. Suave and Smooth, but his voice is, like, shaking.
Right.
And when he gets this news, like today, I'm watching it, and the news about Pataki came on, and then they had to throw it back to Aaron, because I guess he's the anchor throughout the morning. Bill Hemmer. Now, that kid's pretty good. But then they throw it back to Aaron, and now he's cracking, his voice is creaking, he's shaking, he ain't fooling anybody.
Well, I'm glad that I wasn't the only one that noticed it.
Now, the one I like is Judy Woodruff is pretty professional. She's been around a long time. She knows her stuff.
Right. I don't think Paula Zahn does that great.
Paula Zahn sucks, too. You know, Paula Zahn does this. Now, I don't want to panic anybody, and I know, but can I just ask one more question about anthrax?
Right. Well, thanks, Phil. I really appreciate
it. All right, Carla, thanks
for
calling. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The morning of the attacks on the World Trade Center, Aaron Brown was on the rooftop of a building that had a view, and before I even saw his face, before I even knew who it was, I turned the TV on and I heard the voice, and I thought, God, that guy sounds nervous. That guy sounds positively freaked. And then I walked over to the TV set to see who it was I was listening to, and there he was, our old buddy, Aaron Brown. Freaking out, man. I mean, like a green brick. And he used to, like I said, did the overnight thing. Do they still have that all-night news thing that they do on ABC? Do they do that, or what do they do now on ABC? I don't know what the hell. CBS used to have the overnight news, you know? He did great on that show. But now they got this guy anchoring the news, and they've got the very studious, the wire-rimmed glasses, studious look. He's kind of leaning on one elbow. The suit coat is off. The kind of the Edward R. Murrow, you know, dress shirt look. You know, kind of the tie loosened. You know. Just got in from the newsroom, huh, Aaron? Yeah, I'm really working on our stories. And just a little yellow puddle forming underneath his chair. It's a marvelous shot. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. More than $1 billion has been raised for the relief effort on the September 11th attacks, according to the Chronicle of Philanthropy. It's been 5 weeks since the attacks, and while donations have slowed, some groups are still reporting steady contributions. $1 billion. Now, when's that money going to get to the people that it's supposed to get to? I'm not rushing anybody. I just want to know when exactly do they start coughing up some of that loot so that people can, you know, get on with whatever it is they got to get on with. Here is Troy on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it How's it going, Phil?
Fine.
I kind of wanted to go back to what that young lady was talking about a few minutes ago about how the pirates and all that other stuff she was talking about.
Yeah.
Why send CIA agents when you can send mercs over there? Or ex-CIA agents for that?
Because we already are paying people to do that work.
I understand that, but, you know, there's already...
Why do I got to pay somebody else? Why do I got to pay somebody else?
Well, I mean, it's not really us. There's already prices out on his head.
Okay. Those prices, I suspect, are designed to draw in individuals that work for other governments or are citizens of other countries. She's talking about the United States of America hiring these individuals.
Well, I don't see them hiring an ex-CIA or anything like that, you know, especially like you were referring back to before about how we already have special forces over
right,
there anyway.
Yeah,
but,
so that doesn't sound like a really good idea. Right?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Okay, yeah, great. Myra, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mayor. My question was, I want to know, I'm really distraught about, well, of course, I've been through all the riots here recently.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's indifferent. But I'm more concerned about how this attack could have happened. One plane was enough. Four planes that were overcome?
Yeah, four planes.
Four planes.
You know, it shows you what can be done when, you know, you catch somebody with their pants down around their ankles and when you find people, you know, unprepared.
Well, doesn't America need to address that?
I believe that we are. It's
well,
too late to save the lives.
I don't know if we are or not. We're all seeing now.
Well, wait a minute. Slow down, Myra. America is addressing the air piracy situation. We have stepped up security. We have implemented the reinforcement of cockpit doors, air marshals, the checking of baggage. These guys didn't get on the plane with guns, Myra. They didn't get on the plane with
bombs.
No,
they didn't.
They got on the plane with... Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Hold
on
for a minute. Hold on.
Sorry.
Hold the phone.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what they're doing to step up this air stuff that you were worried about. They didn't get on the plane with bombs or guns. They got on the plane with razor blades and a really huge, ballsy, chutzpah form of attack where they slit the throat of a flight attendant and basically cowered everybody else into the fear of action. All of the security measures that we have in place at the airports, for the most part, worked. So we had to do something else, and we are beginning to think along those lines of what else we could do. That includes not allowing these nuts into the cockpit, even if that means they're killing every passenger on board.
But what about books that have been written and the pilots talking about years ago about security, and plus the first attack, the bombing on
the Twin Towers?
What
about books that have been written and the pilot that wrote about security and another thing, what?
And as far as the attack on the Twin Towers in the 80s?
You know,
I'm
going to have you hold on, all right?
Okay.
Because I want you to you're like my third oldest son, okay? I'm trying to teach him some focus, all right? Hold on there, Myra. I want to talk to you and set your mind at ease or make you feel worse, whichever comes first. Hold on. It's the Phil Henry Show here. What about the book that was written and another thing? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.